Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first verse. Questions by the sages. Text 1. Son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. Krishna is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is Krishna only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of Krishna do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Continuing with the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Vedic literatures, it is said that the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is the chief amongst all living personalities. All living beings, beginning from the first created being, Brahma, down to the smallest ant, are individual living beings. And above Brahma, there are even other living beings with individual capacities. And the personality of Godhead is also a similar living being. And he is an individual, as are the other living beings. But the Supreme Lord, or the Supreme Living Being, has the greatest intelligence, and he possesses supermost, inconceivable energies of all different varieties. If a man's brain can produce a space satellite, one can very easily imagine how brains higher than man can produce similarly wonderful things which are far superior. The reasonable person will easily accept this argument, but there are stubborn atheists who would never agree. Srila Vyasadeva, however, at once accepts the Supreme Intelligence as the Param Ishvara. He offers his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Intelligence addressed as the Para, or the Parameshvara, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Parameshvara is Sri Krishna, as admitted in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures delivered by Sri Vyasadeva. And specifically in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that there is no other Paratattva, Samambonam, than himself. Therefore, Sri Vyasadeva at once worships the Paratattva, Sri Krishna, whose transcendental activities are described in the 10th canto. So Prabhupada's presenting his commentary on Srila Vyasadeva's first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, explaining how a reasonable person, a person who is reasonable, in other words, using nyaya, reason means nyaya, nyaya means logic or reason. If you use reason and logic, you'll see that I have intelligence, I am an individual, I have an intelligence, and with my intelligence, I can create something. A computer, or in this case, Prabhupada's site is mentioned, satellite. Something extraordinary, something wonderful. So, there must be someone more intelligent than me, a greater person than me, that can create even something better than me. This is called logic. This is reason. The Prabhupada says the stubborn atheist, he cannot reason like this. He cannot think. He can think, I have intelligence, I can create something, but actually, I am also God. I can create. Sometimes you hear people, the atheistic philosophies, they say, man, he creates his own universe. Whatever you think, that is reality. You create your own reality by your thinking. And you can, if you want to wish something to disappear, it will disappear. If you want something to appear, it will appear. They have these kind of speculative ideas. Imaginative ideas that they are God, and the planets are moving by my will, the moon is rising and the sun is rising and setting by my will. There are very famous groups in the West that they speak like this. So anyone who is reasonable or has a little bit of logic will say, wait a minute. Now, what you can make one small computer, one puny satellite, but can you create a planet like the sun planet, which has unlimited nuclear reactions are going on at every minute, every second? This is just, you know, imagination. So Vyasadeva and Lord Brahma and other reasonable, intelligent personalities, they accept that Krishna is the Paratattva. The Paratattva, he's the supreme, topmost transcendental truth is Krishna. I am an individual, God is also an individual. Nityo nichananam, chaitanas chaitananam, ekobahunam yovadadati kaman. I have consciousness, but there is a supremely conscious person. I have some powers of creation, but I don't have unlimited powers of creation. So these points are being made here, that I am individual, God is the supreme individual. I have some intelligence, some creative power. God is that personality who has unlimited intelligence, unlimited creative power. So therefore, since there is someone superior to me, or someone beyond me, then I should submit myself. I should surrender to or submit myself to that superior person. Just like we see, if there's two people are fighting, two men are fighting, but the man of superior strength, he will, of course, defeat the man of inferior strength. You'll have to surrender. And you'll have to recognize, if you fight someone, he defeats you, you'll have to say, yes, I submit myself. Your strength is greater than mine. I have to admit it. Or if there's Olympic competition, you see, often sports is made like this. People want to see competition. Who is the greatest? Who is the strongest? Or we have competitions of beauty. For example, say the strength competition. They have these weights, these steel weights, and some big fat Russian or big fat somebody or the big strong person, they lift 500 kilos or 200 kilos. And everyone, oh, very good, very good. Then the next person comes along, he lifts 220 kilos. Oh, and everyone says, oh, this is the world's record. Never before in the history of mankind has any human being lifted 220 kilos. And he gets a gold medal, and all the cameras of the world are on him, and everybody is watching on ZTV and XTV and YTV and every TV. They're watching him. So strong, he's so strong. So we want to see who is the strongest. Who is the strongest amongst all of us individuals? Who exhibits the most physical strength? We're attracted. We want to know. We want to see. We want to glorify. We want to submit to that person. We want to recognize him, honor him, give him the Olympic award, the gold medal. And then the next week there's the beauty competition. Miss India or Miss America or Miss World or Miss Universe or Miss, you know, Jagat or whatever. Miss Brahmanda. You know, the most beautiful girl in the world and the most beautiful girl in the universe and the most beautiful girl in all the Brahmandas. Miss Brahmanda. So then all the ladies, they collect all the different Maya Devis from all around the world, they collect, and then somebody makes a judgment, oh, this one is the most beautiful. The most beautiful one. So, and all these are categories where we pick the greatest individual amongst us, the strongest, the most beautiful, the most intelligent, the greatest, the scientist that makes the greatest contribution or greatest invention. But, so we recognize that there may be some very beautiful people or very strong people, but there's one amongst the whole world that is the most beautiful or the strongest. And we have competition and we choose. But beyond this planet, there are also other planets beyond this. Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka, and the planets below, Rasatala, Talatala, Sutala, all these planets are there, and they also have their beauty competitions, right? Tamboru and Tilak and Tilotama and different, you know, Apsaras come in, and then Indra gives a rating who is the most beautiful Apsara, and they get the gold medal. So there is ladies, they explain, like the ladies, you pick the Miss Universe of this world, and she may be so much beautiful, but if you get next to her, you'll say, oh, she may look beautiful, but she doesn't smell beautiful. She stinks. And this Bhagavatam is described, Mina Ganda. When Indra was being chased by the Jara personified it, described the lakshana of Jara and said, Meena Ganda. I mean, she smelled like a fish. Meena Ganda, you know, Ganda, Meena Ganda. Keshavadrita, Meena Sharir. She smelled like a fish. So this body, this man's body or woman's body, it does not smell nice. But so the lady here says, oh, look, you know, I'm Miss Universe, you know. I'm Miss World, I'm Miss Universe. But she has to have so many, you know, sprays and creams and powders and perfumes. But if a lady, if one of the Miss Universes or Miss Worlds comes down from Indraloka, her very body smells like a lotus flower. It smells beautiful like a lotus flower. There's no, you know, sprays and, you know, roll on and spray on and rub on and paint on and on. It's automatically. So in this way, if we see, ultimately, if you go higher, 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 finally you come to Krishna Loka. You come to Shyam Sundar. His body is the most beautiful shape, most beautiful form, most beautiful color, most beautiful effulgence and complexion, and most beautiful fragrance. His body, what does his body smell like? Does it smell like a Meena Ganda or some other, you know, horrible thing? No, it smells like kasturi and nilotpala, a blossoming blue lotus flower, and kasturi and kapoor and chandan. These things, we know the smells of these things in this world, chandan, kasturi, and then lotus, and kapoor, they mix together, that's the smell. And different parts of Krishna's body have different fragrances. Like Krishna's navel, Krishna's nava, namo pankajanabhaya, namo pankajamalane. Queen Kunti has prayers to Krishna, namo pankajanabhaya, namo pankajamalane, namo pankajanetraya. I offer my obeisances to that one who has lotus eyes. Namo pankajanetraya, namo pankajanabhaya. Your nabha, your navel is like a lotus flower. It's shaped like a lotus flower. It rises slightly on the sides, and then it goes down very deeply, very deep and beautiful shaped navel. In our Vrindavan temple, Shyam Sundar, he's always revealing different aspects of his bodily beauty. So when you go there on Saturday or Sunday, you see how beautifully he's dressed. We see in Vrindavan, there are particular pujaris that have different siddhis or expertise. And they're called Shringar. Prakriti Shringar Siddhi. They have perfection in Shringar. So this one pujari, although he may be a Radharaman Goswami, or he may be a Govindaji Goswami, or Monkey Bihari Goswami, he has this perfection in Shringar Seva. He's very expert in dressing deities. So he may go to several temples and dress the deities, dress the Thakur. He may be in the Govindaji Goswami. So in the morning he dresses Govindaji, and then he goes to another temple. Especially he may be expert in painting. He paints Govindaji very nicely with chandan and different kasturi and different beautiful dots and paint and makara and different designs on Krishna's cheeks. And then he goes to the next temple. He may go to three or four temples because he's expert. So in the same way, in our Vrindavan temple, we have one devotee that's particularly expert in Shringar. And his name is Aindra. Aindra is, you know him for his kirtan, but actually he is people from Vrindavan, from the other temples in Vrindavan, they specifically come because they've told me, because I have different Brahmin friends in Vrindavan, they say, we go to Krishna Balaram temple on Saturday and Sunday, have darshan of Shyam Sundar. Because whoever dresses the deities, Radha Shyama Sundar, on Saturday and Sunday, it is the most exquisite, beautiful Shringar we've ever seen. So of course, we ourselves are very slow to recognize or glorify one another. But we're very quick to find fault. You did this and you did that, and this Swami and that Swami and this Brahmachari and that Brahmachari and this Kriya. But they don't know who it is. They mentioned to me, they say, whoever dresses the deities on Saturday and Sunday, Radha Shyama Sundar, exquisite, expert, wonderful. And it happens to be Aindra, that's his day, Saturday and Sunday, because most people come on that day. So we can see, we can appreciate by this how beautiful Krishna is. So he is the greatest individual, and he has the greatest power of intelligence, the greatest power of creation, the creative powers, And he has all the, he said Aishvarya Purna, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya, Viryasya Yatashashriya. He has all the Aishvaryas, unlimited beauty, which we're describing partially, and unlimited powers of creation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited strength. So this is the point that, Prabhupada's mentioning here, which is mentioned by Vyasadeva, about Krishna's individual, we are individual, he's a supreme individual, and he has unlimited powers of creation. But the stubborn atheists, they cannot, their reasoning power does not extend this far, because their intelligence is impure, avashuddha buddhaya, as explained in Bhagavatam. Because of impure intelligence, they cannot stretch their mind to accept the conception that, yes, I am an individual, I have beauty, I have strength, I have intelligence, I have creative power. So possibly, somewhere, there's an individual who's much greater than me, and much, much more intelligent than me, and much more beautiful and stronger and powerful than me, and inconceivably, unlimitedly greater. And that is the supreme person, supreme living entity, and that supreme living entity is the absolute truth of the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada goes on, unscrupulous persons go immediately to the 10th canto, and especially to the 5 chapters which describe the Lord's rasa dance, rasa panchadhyaya. This portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most confidential part of this great literature. Unless one is thoroughly accomplished in the transcendental knowledge of the Lord, one is sure to misunderstand the Lord's worshipable transcendental pastimes called rasa dance, and his love affairs with the gopis. This subject matter is highly spiritual, and only the liberated persons who have gradually attained to the stage of Paramahamsa can transcendentally relish this rasa dance. Srila Vyasadeva therefore gives the reader the chance to gradually develop spiritual realization before actually relishing the essence of the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, he purposely invokes a Gayatri mantra, Dhimahi. This Gayatri mantra is meant for spiritually advanced people. When one is successful in chanting the Gayatri mantra, he can enter into the transcendental position of the Lord. One must therefore acquire brahminical qualities or be perfectly situated in the quality of goodness in order to chant the Gayatri mantra successfully, and then attain to the stage of transcendentally realizing the Lord, his name, his fame, his qualities, and so on. So Prabhupada is explaining here in this paragraph that the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, culminates with the revelation and description of Krishna's most intimate pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan with his greatest, most surrendered devotees, the Brijvasi gopis especially, and the Rasalila. But in order to appreciate, or as Prabhupada said, to relish, to be a rasika means one who relishes. He can actually taste the rasa. In order to taste rasa, one must be educated in the science of rasa tattva. Like if someone says, what are the sanchari bhavs? What is alambana? What is anubhav? What is vishaya, alambana? He said,
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
So without actually learning the science of rasa, what are the stai bhavs and all these different bhavas and how they intermix in Krishna's pastimes, one cannot actually transcendentally relish, as Prabhupada said. Unless one is a paramahamsa or highly learned in the science of Krishna consciousness, he cannot relish the intimate pastimes of the Lord. We hear the pastimes from the lips of realized souls like Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book. There's one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Leela, where Prabhupada is saying that, maybe it's Adi Leela, he's describing how the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, was explaining himself, I'm very old, I'm very weak, I may not finish this Chaitanya Charitamrita, so therefore I am summarizing the contents of Madhya Leela in these verses. So then Prabhupada comments on that shloka, and he says, yes, like Krishnadas Kaviraj, I am now 78 years old. For 78, that means that was 75 or so. 74, 75. Prabhupada was about what was it, 90, he was 80 years old? He was 96 and then 77, 80, 81, 81. So that he said, I'm 78. He said, I'm 78 and I could die at any time. So therefore, I have given my students the Krishna book, which is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that even if I can't complete this Chaitanya Charitamrita, my students will be able to relish the pastimes of the Lord by reading Krishna book. The Prabhupada is mentioning. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the, even, you can say, more intimate graduate study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The intimate ecstasies of Mahabhav, the Lord Chaitanya showed in Gambira Leela and Anti Leela are never before seen, not even in the Rasa Leela of Krishna in the Bhagavatam. So that's why it's even more intimate and higher revelation. The Prabhupada said, I may not finish this. So he's explaining that there that I've given the Krishna book so that the devotees can appreciate the pastimes of the Lord. So we read the pastimes of the Lord, and we read the Krishna book. Prabhupada wanted us to read Krishna book every night, but we may not relish it, because Prabhupada says the qualification to relish, to actually taste and experience different sattvic bhavas, you know, the trembling of the body and choking up of the voice and tears falling from the eyes, these are symptoms of ecstasy of a liberated soul. We won't experience those, but nevertheless we hear Srimatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shavana Kirtana, that by hearing these pastimes in the Krishna book, we become purified and bhakti flows into us. The devotion, prema of Krishna's leelas, it flows into our ears and into our heart and bathes our heart and cleanses our heart. Especially because we hear them from the lips of Srila Prabhupada with his purports. So that gives our qualification to hear the Bhagavatam. It's because we hear it from Srila Prabhupada and we're following him by following we're following his teachings by being his followers and disciples. He makes a second point here about the Gayatri, because he says param satyam param dimahi. He uses this word dimahi, which is from the Brahma Gayatri, Om Bhur Bhuvah Swa, and in that Gayatri the word dimahi is there. Actually, in any Gayatri mantra, Gayatri means a particular anustha or chanda. It's called chanda, chandas, which is the poetic meter of the mantra. So Gayatri means has 24 syllables. So there's Brahma Gayatri, there's Kam Gayatri, there's Radha Gayatri, there's Gaur Gayatri, there's many, many Gayatris. So one of the qualifications of a mantra to be Gayatri is a chandas, that it has 24 syllables, but also it has particular words in it, particular verbs, like dimahi. So Prabhupada mentions here that this dimahi word is used here. He says the Gayatri mantra dimahi. Jiva Goswami, he comments on this first verse of the Bhagavatam, and he explains that actually in this verse, Srila Vyasadeva is giving a commentary on Brahma Gayatri. Because actually Brahma Gayatri indicates Krishna. Because some of the Puranas, Agni Purana and other Puranas, they explain that Brahma Gayatri indicates, some Puranas say Brahma Gayatri indicates Surya Narayan. Some say Paramatma, some say Vishnu, some say Suryadev. There's different ideas. But actually from our Vaishnav conception, we see from the Puranas, you can find that the Brahma Gayatri, Om Bhur Bhuvah Swah, indicates Lord Vishnu, Antaryami, the Lord Narayan. But even higher than that, Jiva Goswami draws out that actually indicates Krishna. The word, so the dimahi, so taking that word dimahi from the Brahma Gayatri, Vyasadeva expanded the word dimahi, and he says dimahi, as our Braj Bhakti mentioned yesterday, that dimahi, di means the buddhi. Buddhi means the intelligence. That he took this word dimahi means to offer one's intelligence, which means basically one's atma, because that's part of one's atma, offer one's intelligence in surrender and service at the lotus feet of Krishna. So it's the first verse of Bhagavatam says param parasatyam nadimahi. Says satyam param dimahi. The parasatya, the topmost truth of the paratattva, is Krishna. And so I offer my intelligence dimahi to him, and I meditate upon him. So this is actually the meaning of the Brahma Gayatri, is that when I transcend Bhur Bhuvah Swah, when I transcend the three planes of existence, when I transcend the mind, the body, mind, and intelligence and ego, I come to the platform of Savitri, or the platform of light, or Brahman. And as I go beyond that, I come to the source of Brahman. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Krishna says, I am the source of Brahman. And the source of Brahman is Vishnu or Krishna. So this Param Satyam Dhimahi means I meditate on Krishna. So this is one point. This is some of the points that Prabhupada made in this part. Before we end the class, I wanted to just read a few verses from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, which actually glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam, because now we're beginning to study again the Srimad Bhagavatam. At any rate, they're very nice. There's a whole chapter in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Vyasadeva is glorifying to establish it. So I chose a few verses I want to read just to glorify this wonderful literature of Srimad Bhagavatam, to kind of impress in our minds and hearts how important this literature is, how we should worship this Srimad Bhagavatam and live the Srimad Bhagavatam and remember the Srimad Bhagavatam and preach and teach the Srimad Bhagavatam and enter the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, become one with the teachings, and spread the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam all around the world, as our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada did. So in the 12th chapter, 12th canto, verse 59, there's one nice verse. Yaetat shravayan nityam yamakshanam ananyadi shlokam aikam tarardam va parampadadam evava sharavan yo nu shrinuyat punat yatmanam evasaha. Prabhupada would often quote the English of this verse. One who, with undeviating attention, constantly recites this literature at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse, or half a verse, or a single line, or even half a line, certainly purifies himself. Padam, padardam, evava. A padam means a single line, or an ardapad, a half a line. Punati. Punati means he purifies himself. So Prabhupada would often say, just hear, if you only hear a half a verse or even one line of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will become purified. So you might say, I'm very, very busy. My family, my job, my relatives, my schooling, I have no time. But you have no time to read Ardhapad. An Ardhapad, a half a line. If you read just a half a line, your heart will become pure and your mind and heart will become attached to Krishna. So we encourage everyone to read at least one half of a line. If you can't read one shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says pada arda, then it says tadardam, it says tadardam, half of that, and eka shlokam, shlokam ekam tadardam. If you can't read one shloka, then part of a shloka or part of a shloka. See how merciful Vyasadeva is. Okay, I know you're very busy with your cell phone and your computer and your ZTV and everything. You have no time for Bhagavatam. But okay, you're a busy man, but read one half of one verse at least, and you'll get punati atmanam. Punati atman, your mind and body and soul become punati, become pure. Dvadashyam ekadashyam va shinvan ayushyavan bhavet. Patatyana Yana nanashnan prayatak puto bhavati patakat. So he says, with careful attention, okay, and if you're so busy that you can't read the Bhagavatam every day, then at least read it 2 days in a month. At least 2 days in a month on Ekadasi and Dwadashi. You know they're very, Harivasara is very important, and Dwadashi Brata is also very important. So if you can't read every day, at least read 2 days a month. And if you do, if you hear this Bhagavatam on Ekadasi or Dwadashi, you will get Ayush. You'll get Ayush, you know, Ayurveda. You'll get long life. Oh, okay, definitely. Definitely, I must read the Bhagavatam on Ekadasi and Dwadashi because everyone in this room wants to live forever. You'll get long life. And if you recite it with careful attention, while fasting, you'll be purified of all sinful reactions. Well, I don't know about that, but I don't know if I want to be purified of all my sinful reactions, but I do want to live a long time. So he's saying, if you fast, if you do Harivasara, if you do Jagaran, or not Jagaran, but Upavas, If you fast on Ekadasi and you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll become free from all your sins. 12th canto, that was 1259-60, and this is 1264. Purana samhitam etam aditya prayato dvija proktam bhagavata yattu tat padam paramam vajet. A brahmana who diligently reads this essential compilation of all the Puranas, Purana samhitam etam, he will go to the supreme destination, tat padam paramam vajet. Param parama padam vajet, he will go, which the Supreme Lord himself has herein described. So if a brahmana every day reads this Purana Samhitam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Purana Samhitam, he'll go to the spiritual world. And then chapter 13, that was chapter 12. Chapter 13 is actually called the Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. Adi Madhyavana Vasaneshu Vairagyakyana Samyutam Hari Lila Kata Vrata Mritya Anandita Sat Suram Sarva Vedanta Saram Yad Brahmatmai Katva Lakshanam Vastu Adityam Tannishtam Kaivalyaika Paryojanam. From the beginning to end, the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations that encourage renunciation of material life, as well as nectarine accounts of Lord Hari's transcendental pastimes, Hari Lila Kata, which give ecstasy to the saintly devotees and demigods. Mrityanandita Satsuram. This Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. Sarva Vedanta Saram. Wonderful phrase. Sarva Vedanta Saram. Vedanta. Of all the Sarva Vedanta Saram Yad. Brahma Atmai Katva Lakshanam. Sarva Vedanta Saram. Beautiful. Because its subject matter, this Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy, because its subject matter is the absolute truth, which, while non-different from the spirit soul, is the ultimate reality, one without a second. The goal of this literature is exclusive devotional service unto the supreme truth. Tannishtam, Kaivalya, Kaivalya, it's called Kaivalya Bhakti, or you can say Kevala Bhakti. Kevala Bhakti Prayojanam, Tannishtam Kevala Bhakti Prayojanam. That the nishta, the firm goal and the prayojana goal of this literature and the absolute necessity that this literature delivers is nothing but kevala bhakti, Krishna prem, pure bhakti to Krishna. And then there's a few more verses. Sarva Vedanta, again, he likes this phrase, he uses it again in verse 15. Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasamrita Triptasya Nanyatra Syad Rati Kvachit. Very beautiful verse. Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasamrite Mita Triptasya. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from the nectarine mellow of Srimad Bhagavatam will never be attracted to any other literature. Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatra Syad Rati Kvachit. No Rati. You'll have no newspaper Rati, no Samachar Rati, no India Today Rati, no Newsweek Rati. It'll be all finished. Nanyatra, anyatra. No other attraction but this. You'll be so much triptasya, so much satisfaction and happiness from reading the Bhagavatam. Nimnam ganam yata ganga devanam achuta yata vaishnavanam yata shambhu puranam idam tata. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu, the greatest of Vaishnavas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yadat Vaishnavanam Priyam. This is a famous verse. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkaranyam Avishkritam Tachchinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyanara. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free of all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam who properly hears it and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. In this small purport, and I'll finish. This is text 18, chapter 13, text 18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishvanam Priyam. So nice. Vaishvananam Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is the most dear to the Vaishnavas. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. So, Amalam Puranam, pure. The purport. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is completely free of contamination by the modes of nature, it is endowed with extraordinary spiritual beauty and therefore very dear to the pure devotee of the Lord. The word Paramahamsyam indicates that even completely liberated souls are eager to hear and narrate Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are trying to be liberated should faithfully serve this literature by hearing and reciting it with faith and devotion. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Dai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Vah.